Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the inner sanctum.
We offer you escape.
Follow Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
A special 3-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Right, it is about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari, and to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl, what's up?
Hey, it's program 336 in the series. It's November 17th, and we have three classic radio shows for you this evening. Sam Spade, Detective, starring Howard Duff. Then it's Duffy's Tavern with special guest Vincent Price, and then Gangbusters, starring Frank Reddick and Mercedes McCambridge from 1947. Now, tomorrow, when we come back here, we have just 1 hour on the air, but it will be our Thanksgiving show. I'm going to play a Thanksgiving episode of My Friend Irma.
And just to be clear, that 1 hour starts at midnight tomorrow
starts
night.
Starts at midnight,
so we're
okay.
Preempted 1 hour instead of starting at 11.
I can sleep an hour later
we'll
tomorrow.
We'll start at 12. Well, okay. Well, take a little nap on the couch. But tonight we have a really special show.
We do.
And before that really special show, we have a really special guest in the studio. So we want to introduce Frank DeFino Jr., who, what is your title?
Hello. Hi, Lisa. Hi, Carl. Thanks
Hi,
for having
Frank.
Me.
Hi, Frank. What is your title at 2K?
Servant. I'm basically a servant.
We all feel that way sometimes.
We know what that's all about.
I'm one of the five partners that own the company. It's a five-way partnership, father, brothers.
So this is with 2K's.
Very cool.
Yes. And this is a premier marketing company right
been
here.
Been around since 63. Yeah,
63.
And all the while in Chicago.
And a family-owned business.
And my father still is there.
Isn't that amazing?
So yeah, cool.
The reason we... Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Frank, his company has had a long history with
yes.
WGN because Frank's company, 2K's, creates the WGN calendars.
And goes back to, what is it, 1993 with Spike Odell. So tell us how
exactly.
You started your relationship with WGN.
93 was really quick. We had a gamble, and we said, let's give Mom and Dad something very different. Five children, 18 grandchildren, so we decided
that's
to write
a gift
a
right
song.
There.
And that's when CDs just came out, and people couldn't burn them, but we knew someone who could burn them, so we said, let's send it to Spike, see what happens. Well, we sent it to Spike, I think it was a Wednesday on Thursday. He called all three numbers. He just kept calling and calling, which was good news. Finally got a hold of him. He loved it. Bottom line is he played it on Friday. He was summoned for Bob Collins on that day. He was taking the spot. And it just started like that. And I called him, and he said, Spike, that was so great of you to do. How nice of you. What can we do for you? And he goes, well, tell me about you. Well, he asked us, I've always wanted a website. Again, when websites were just...
Brand new back then.
Right? Spike's always ahead of the curve.
So we did his website, and he said, I want to bring you guys into the station. We need to do WGN radio station.
Well, and here you are, and it's way beyond 1993, so you're still working
hard. I don't know what's... Right?
The crazy thing, too, Lisa, is for years and years, I was using 2Ks to do all of my printing plates for my catalogs for my companies. So I probably met you, Frank, over the years,
right.
Or worked with your dad, possibly, at 2K. So I actually been working with 2K for like 25 years, and here we are full circle. But let's talk about the calendar, first of all, because there's a lot of things. There's a reason, really a big reason, why we wanted to have Frank on the show, because...
And particularly this week.
Our listeners need to know about 2K's. All of the things they can do for our listeners. Like, we just got these calendars, and our names, Lisa's name and then my name.
Well, mine's on my calendar.
Well, I know that. It's all throughout the calendar. It's especially, I don't know how they do this. I'm sure they have lots of elves back there that are just writing our names in here. No, but we're going to show it on our Facebook page because it's incredible. This calendar is incredible.
They're personalized calendars, and I know WGN has had a very long relationship with 2Ks. Well, tell us a little bit about that relationship and why it's so strong.
For the calendars.
For the calendars or anything else
okay.
You do that's personalized.
So, going back into the mid-90s and that, we did the theme songs for the Chicago Cubs for them, and then we did the Blackhawks when they picked up the Blackhawks. And then shortly right after that, it was these calendars. We had sent these out, I don't know if I told you guys, to all of our clients as a Christmas gift. Just yeah. a nice way to say thank you. We were getting emails and nice messages from people going, can I get one for my uncle and my dad and this and that, and I'll pay you. And we had an idea. And I think it was someone in the sales department, Wendy Listick, actually, that said...
Here at WGN.
At WGN.
Right.
She said, we need to promote these on our radio station and get them to our listeners. That was 11 years ago, and here we are, still going strong.
Yeah. And it's not just a holiday thing. You guys do much more than that.
Anniversaries, you name
it. We've just got our business cards from you as well, which are absolutely gorgeous.
2K's does a lot of different things. I just learned today that they do... websites at every level, from like entry level websites all the way to the highest level Fortune 500 type websites for your company. Folks, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people listening that need a website. And 2K's, which is a local company, they've been around for since 1963.
They're as old as you are,
Carl. I know, same year I was born.
Just mentioning.
They know how to build your website. They will give you the personalized service. They also do business cards, the calendars. They do printing, like if you need a catalog printed or you need the, I mean, it's a full service marketing, printing, website, social media company. You got to check it out. Now, the website is
2Ks.com.
And that's, tell us how it's spelled.
I know, right? There's a whole story to that, but I'll spare you that. It's actually a play on word, two of the letter K's.
Yeah.
That's how it is, right? So rather than
two K's.
So it was spelled out as 2K's. They're only in business for 6 months. The father passed away. The son didn't want it. My father and his partner picked it up. They bought it. And we kept the name ever since because he wanted to have it.
Tukaiz.com. It's TUKAIZ.com. And we're going to post this on our Facebook page. We're going to post a picture of Frank. We're going to post a picture of the calendars. We're going to post a picture of the business cards. What else can we post?
You know what else you can post is you can go to our case study site. And you were talking about this, Carl, earlier. Business cards, the folders, the brochures, to that's a whole personalized section. But 2Ks is a consumer, a business-to-consumer company in a small way, but in a huge way, we're really a business-to-business company.
Okay.
I bet so many of your readers or your listeners walk by and read and see some of the things we do, like point-of-purchase displays in grocery stores or in hardware stores. You have the idea of food, quick-service restaurants, Arby's, Taco Bell, Burger King, McDonald's, Wingstop, it just goes on and on.
Wow.
So when you're going through that drive-through and you're deciding what you're going to pick in that plexiglass, or you're in the restaurant, you see the signage on the windows, it's all coming out of Chicago, and it's being distributed across the United States. So we're really proud of that,
and the game is on.
We have to show up and do it, you know. So
absolutely. Well, go to the website because you'll learn everything if you need these things, folks, I know I need.
Well, everybody needs these things.
Well, I need the business
cards. Everybody needs something printed.
The business cards that Frank and 2Ks did for Lisa and I. Unbelievable. Like the greatest business cards I've ever seen. Like everyone that I give these to, they're like, who did these business cards?
What do you like
about them? They feel like velvet.
They feel like velvet.
They have that spot gloss on them that's really nice. They have the corners that are rounded.
Mm-hmm.
They're really special. We're going to post them. We did them earlier. But the bottom line is it's your workmanship that's so extraordinary.
Yeah. Thank you.
And your relationship with WGN wouldn't be going on for all these years if you were not an extraordinary company.
I think the same is for both of you. And the entire WGN.
Oh, thank you.
The cultures of our businesses are very, very similar.
You're right. It's all about quality.
Yeah.
And 2Ks is quality. So, and 2Ks is in Franklin Park. So they're a local company. The website again, TUKAIZ.com. We're going to post that. Frank DeFino Jr. is one of the owners. He's here. Thank you, Frank, so much for being on the air with us.
My pleasure.
Hey, and check out our Facebook page. We're going to post a bunch of photos right now. We're going to go in front of the Tree Time tree and post some photos.
That's right.
You guys know the best. This is a thrill. Look at this.
We're so happy to promote you.
Thank you, guys.
Stick around, folks. We're going to tune in to Sam Spade Detective right after these words. All right, it is time now for the adventures of Sam Spade Detective. Howard Duff with Sam Spade in one of the greatest detective series of the golden age of radio. Let's go back to June 27th, 1948 for part one now of the Bail Bond Caper on the adventures of Sam Spade Detective.
The adventures of Sam Spade Detective, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Office of Samuel Spade, Private Investments. Investigations. Good morning. Evening.
Effie?
Miss Perrine is on a vacation. Perhaps I may be of assistance, no doubt.
I don't know. To whom am I speaking to?
I am sorry. I cannot divulge that information to an entire stranger. May I take a message?
Look, Miss, whoever you are, I don't want to discommode you, but...
I am sorry, but I will have to ask you in no certain terms to resist from this line you are handing me. I am not the type secretary.
Forget it. I'll just call Miss Perrine long distance and dictate my report over the phone.
Oh, my stars and God, how utterly gouge of me, Mr. Spade. Oh, I'm Bernadine, Effie's relief. I mean yours.
I could use some.
Oh, shall I send out for some medicine?
Yeah. The phone number's on the wall behind the water cooler. Tell them the 100-proof bonded and hang the expense. I'll be right down to dictate my report on the bail bond caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade. Presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. And now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in the adventures of Sam Spade.
Just gotta be.
Yes, but why?
It was fate. I knew it was gonna be like this.
I had my qualms too, Bernadine.
Oh, that's good. I sent the other back.
The other what?
I called that number, but it was euphonious. They sent whiskey. Is something the matter?
No, nothing at all. I'm perfectly qualm.
Well, I'm glad. My previous employer was very nervous, which is why I just happened to be tentatively at large when Effie reproached me about being a relief to her.
Figures. Bernadine, now I'm not being fresh. Honestly, I'm not, but do you take shorthand?
Yeah, but I don't speak it.
What is that you speak? Don't answer. Ready?
Rodney. Roger.
Yeah. Date?
I'll have to ask my mother.
Down, Bernadine. Date, June 27, 1948, to Miss Effie Perrine, care of Perry's Lodge, Kanab, the Pearl of the West, Utah.
What?
Wrong letter. I'll get to that later. Date, June 27, 1948, to Leo M. Scarlett, care of Leaf, Branch, Root, Knox, and Wood, attorneys at law, 333 Pine Street, San Francisco, from Samuel Spade, license number 17596. Subject, the bail bond caper. Dear Leo, I'm sorry things turned out the way they did, Leo, and I'd like you to know how I got into it. If it wasn't for the reward, I don't take rewards. I'm not in love with your wife, no matter what she says, and I wasn't sore at you about anything. I was just sitting in my office, minding my own business, when the door opened, and Vivian walked in. She looked every bit as beautiful as she did when she lived under me in Ma Tuttle's boarding house in 41. In fact, I didn't recognize her until she slithered out of her mink.
Hello, Sam. Surprised to see me?
Yeah, but I'm trying not to show it. What's on your mind?
Is that all you've got to say to me, Sam?
Well, you're here on business, aren't you?
All right, I don't blame you. It all happened pretty suddenly, Leo and me. I should have written or phoned you, I suppose, but somehow...
Forget it, Vivian. Now, what do you need a detective for? Are you thinking of divorcing already?
Oh, please don't, Sam. If it was a mistake, I'm the one who has to live with it. And I made up my mind when I marry Leo. This time it's for keeps. No matter what.
Mm-hmm. What's the what?
He's in trouble, Sam.
Well, that's nothing new.
Well, this time I don't think it's his fault. When Leo went legit, he meant it.
What's he say he's doing now?
He's a bail bond broker.
Judging from your new look, I'd say he's a success.
Sam, a man called him on the phone today. I answered. He said his name was Holiday, but I recognized his voice. It was an old friend of Leo's, Charlie Rosenfoy.
Charlie, huh? When did he get out?
A couple weeks back. He was paroled. I don't know what he said over the phone, but Leo looked scared and sick.
I don't wonder. The word around town was that Charlie took the rap for Leo.
And I don't know anything about that. All I know is Leo's on the level now, and Charlie never will be. He did plenty on his own during that time he served.
Well, I won't argue that, but from where I sit, it looks like Leo better start wearing a gun again.
He has. That's what I'm so frantic about, Sam.
Did you hear any of the conversation from Leo's end?
He didn't say much. But I did hear him say, all right, 10 tonight, I'll meet you there.
That wasn't very smart of him.
I know, but that's the way he is.
It might be only for a payoff.
I thought of that, too. But Leo hasn't got that kind of money. He's been dropping a lot at the racetracks lately. And even if he had it, he's not the type to pay blackmail.
I don't like it. Why should I stick my neck out? Why did you have to come to me anyway?
Because I trust you, Sam. I know you were jealous of Leo.
I was?
Sam, if we ever meant anything... If you meant half the things you said to me when we...
Stop it. That's blackmail.
Oh, I feel so lost and alone. I don't know where to turn.
Okay. And I'll see what I can do.
Oh, Sam. I'll make it up to you somehow. You see if I don't.
Sure you will. And tell Leo to stop dropping his money at Tan Ferran. This is going to cost them plenty. Vivian had said that your rendezvous with Charlie was scheduled for 10 in the p.m. and that you were too upset to go to work that day, so you'd be at home, 1246 Dunmore. I took a plant in your apartment building from a sleepy lagoon-type cocktail bar across the street called, you guessed it, the Sweet Leilani. Your wife joined me, and after a while, we got around to talking. At least she did.
I bet you can't guess what I'm thinking about.
Huh?
Listen, Sam. You remember that night we drove to Happen...
Bay.
Oh, you do remember. Oh, we used to do the craziest things. I should have married you, Sam.
Please, no one I'm drinking.
You know what? The trouble with crooks... They have to work day and night.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not listening.
No, but everybody else in the place is.
Let's talk about you, Sam. Did I ever tell you how I met Leo?
No, and please don't.
And then he opened a bucket shop. You know what a bucket shop is?
Yeah.
It's stockbroker.
Brokerage.
Yeah, that's right. Only it's crooked. That was the first business Leo started when he went legit.
Mm-hmm.
He had to shut it down on account of securities. Somebody was always stealing out of the safe.
Were they insured?
Yeah, but they wouldn't renew his policy. So after the second nightclub burned down and he couldn't get any insurance at all, even on his own life. That's why I'm so frantic, Sam. Hey, give me a nickel. I want to play Sweet Little Annie.
Nichols, and 2 hours later, Sweet Leilani broke under the strain, so we had Princess Papuli, believe in that, gave up, and we're starting on the Hawaiian war chant when she disappeared through a door marked Wahini's, Hawaiian for powder room, and never came back. Around 9:45, I mumbled something to the bartender about the lady will pay, put on my smoked glasses, and strolled out and across the street. You came out of the building a couple of minutes later. You led me a zigzag course up Merchant Street to Salon, across Salon to Commercial, down Commercial to Drum, and made a lateral pass over Drum back to Dunbar. Your destination, I'd never have guessed it, was the Sweet Leilani. Happily, they were not playing Sweet Leilani. It was very, very quiet. The regular customers had taken a powder, and I didn't blame them. In the new crop at the bar, I counted 10 broken noses, at least 5 broken paroles, assorted knife scars, and 4 pairs of cauliflower ears, and 1 maverick. You slid into a booth at the end of the bar, took the gun out of your shoulder holster, and laid it down on the table in front of me. I walked over, turned it around so it was pointing at the jukebox instead of me, and sat down.
Some other time, Spade. Some other time I drank with you. I'm waiting for a friend.
Why the gun? You selling it to him?
Maybe I give it to him. Go on, you drink at the bar.
It's kind of crowded. Looks like Charlie Rosenfroy's old mob. Who are they gunning for? You or Charlie?
Why don't you ask them?
What are you drinking, Leo?
I was with that bottle all day. Got a bad taste. Do me a favor, Spade. There's a bar two doors down the street. Go drink there. There's my friend coming in the door.
Any friend of yours is a friend of mine, Leo.
Look, Spade.
Hello, Leo. What's the matter? You bring a bodyguard to meet your old friend, Charlie?
This shamus threw his weight in here. I didn't ask him. I don't need him.
Huh. That sounds like the old Leo Scarlatti I used to...
The name is Scarlet.
Oh, pardon me. I've been on the rock for so long, it's hard to catch up on all the changes.
There's been a war, Charlie. Anyone tipped you to it yet?
You got a smart bodyguard, Leo.
Let's talk. Let's go somewhere else and talk.
I like it here.
Okay, we start. How come you tipped the mob we were coming here? You promised you wouldn't.
Like the shamas, they got a drink somewhere.
All right, say what's in your mind and I'll go.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, I think I'll do my drinking at the bar. Both of your guns were on the table. It didn't look as though you were going to use them on one another, and I figured that neither of you was going to do much talking in front of me anyway, so I scrolled back to the end of the bar to look at the television. The 10 o'clock news roundup was on, and the ticker tape that was moving across the screen said, dot, 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 in Atlantic City today, period. I ordered a highball, and then the ticker tape started again. This time it said, San Francisco, $1 million bail bond robbery. $1 million in negotiable bonds is tonight in the hands of a group of daring holdup men who commandeered an armored truck at the very portals of the police department and the Hall of Justice. Then it said, this concludes the 10 o'clock edition of the television news roundup. I had a slight hunch that if the television boys had had their cameras on the big bail bond robbery, that at least some of the characters would have been played by at least some of the bad actors that were foregathered in the Sweet Leilani. In fact, what you and Charlie were saying and doing when I walked back to your booth was almost too much to the point. You let me see the bulky portfolio Charlie shoved across the table at you. It looked like a carrying case for bonds, bank messages, but it was sealed with wax blobs bearing the imprint of the great seal of the state of California. I was impressed.
Where'd you get this?
You can read about it in the papers, and if I was you, I'd get this out of sight before them papers hit the street. One thing more. Don't try to clip none of them coupons. And one thing more in addition. Don't open it at all.
Sure. Babe?
Yeah, Leon?
I think I hire you after all.
How come all the bad guys talk like this? Hey, Lisa, you know, I'm going to clip those coupons.
Well, it sounds a lot like you when you
say... A bad guy always talks like that.
It's all about the grammar.
That's actually William Conrad. William Conrad there talking to Howard Duff. There's Sam Spade. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, thank you, David Jennings. 11:40 in the Allstate Skyline Studio here at WGN. Lisa Wolf, my co-host, and we're here every Saturday and Sunday night beginning at 11 p.m. playing all your favorite classic radio shows. And I got to tell you, one of the best, Lisa, Sam Spade Detective. And we're listening to an episode from June 27th, 1948, called The Bail Bond Caper. This stars Howard Duff. Here's the conclusion.
I took the job and you handed me the portfolio. Outside, we flagged the taxi and you gave the driver an address on Portsmouth Square. Your office, I hate to remind you, was behind one of a bunch of neon-lighted storefronts across from the Hall of Justice. The sign on the door said, press the button and let freedom ring any hour, day or night. The only bell in sight was a stop-press-type burglar alarm. You unlocked the door and we went in. You paused in front of a big green safe with a combination lock and started twirling the knob. The tumblers clicked into place. I picked up an inkwell and waited for the safe to open.
All right, Spade, give me it.
I did, with both hands. With my left, I handed you the portfolio, and with my right, I pitched the inkwell at a well-wired slab of plate glass window. When the burglar alarm went into action, so did you. You dropped everything and were out of the door and out of sight before you could say, let freedom ring. While I was waiting for the cops to arrive, I helped myself to a $500 bearer bond I found lying loose in your safe. I had a feeling I might be needing some bail myself. Cleo, when I made my spectacular move in your bail bond office and set the bells to ringing, then I'd get the caper off my neck and onto the capable shoulders of the police, where it now belonged. Then I told myself I could go home and get some sleep. I had never been that fond of Vivian anyway. I was holding the $1 million portfolio, complete with its big official seal still unbroken, ready to hand it over with a flourish to the first boy in blue that rushed in. But then I saw something that dashed my hopes. There was a strip of scotch tape across the bottom of it. It wasn't up to me to tamper with important evidence, but I didn't have to. It was only a question of what magazine had been cut up to replace the $1 million in bearer bonds. That question was answered at headquarters 20 minutes later. It turned out to be the last 52 issues of Radio Life, which even Captain Walsh of the robbery detail admitted was no help. Neither was Captain Walsh.
Now, Spade, in your statement here, you state, sweet Leilani, and that Rosenfroid didn't-hand portfolio exhibit in question to Leo M. Scarlett, alias Scarlatti, at approximately 10:20 p.m. this day.
That's it, Captain.
Now, you sure you want to stick with this? You don't want to change any part of the statement?
No, I just want to go home and go to bed.
I'm afraid you're going to stay with us for a while.
Oh, me?
Statement of Jordan Joyce, M.D. Statements of Hilda Sackwriter, R.N., and Mildred DeVille, this R.N., day and night, nice as respectfully.
Who's sick?
Rosenfroid. He's been quarantined in his home in Daly City since his release from Alcatraz 4 days ago. Chicken pox. Sorry, Sam, I'll have to book you. You sure you don't want to add anything to that statement?
Only this. Kelsey Walsh, if you continue to do such brilliant police work, you will be waving a stop sign at a school crossing in time for the fall semester. You are a hangnail on the finger of justice. I thought I'd been courteous and cooperative, but even so, it was the middle of the afternoon by the time they set my bail. $1,500. That made it light. But I hadn't had time to hang the curtains in my cell when I got even worse news. My bail had been posted by who? Vivian, a banana peel in the steps of progress. She met me outside.
Well, aren't you going to thank me?
What for? Getting me in jail or getting me out?
Getting you out, of course. With all the money I had in all the world, Leo's money was impounded, you know. But, Sam, when I thought of what you and I once meant to each other, maybe we still...
Yeah, well, you'll get your money back. I'm not really guilty.
Oh, I know that.
What else do you know?
I guess it's safe to talk. Leo phoned me today.
Where is he?
He wouldn't say. Some pay station. He kept putting in nickels. Sam, you've got to talk to him. You've got to convince him it's best to give himself up.
Now you're beginning to make sense, sweetheart. But how can I get to talk to him?
I've arranged it. He's to meet us at the Club Leilani. You know, where we had our reunion yesterday.
That place on Dunbar?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. A crowded saloon less than a block from the police department. Besides, the place has lousy memories for me. By the way, did you ever get out of the ladies' room?
If you don't mind, I'd rather talk about something else.
Okay, let's talk about how do we bring this big secret meeting off in a crowded cafe. Is Leo coming in a false beard?
You really think I'm stupid, don't you?
I didn't say so.
Well, it so happens that the place is closed on Tuesday. See that sign in the window? Closed Tuesday?
Mm-hmm. Now, how do we break in?
I was counting on you. You're a detective. Can't you use a glass key or something?
Did you say that bail bond you bought for me was all the money you had in the world?
That's the truth.
Then get ready to forfeit it.
The risk I've got to take.
You've got to take.
Sam, please, if we ever met anything...
Yeah, I know. Half Moon Bay. But sometimes I wish we hadn't been childhood sweethearts. Wait here, I'll case the alley. The alley wasn't much better. There were two windows, washroom type, all glass brick, except the two small ventilators big enough to put your hand through. The only hope was the kitchen skylight. I didn't have any trouble getting up to it. But once I was there, things didn't look so good. The view from the roof was a garage door with two green lights flanking it. Then it struck me where I was and why I was there. The Club Leilani backed directly on the Hall of Justice where the big bail bond robbery had taken place at 5 p.m. the night before. Without further ado, I took my slip through a pane of the skylight, reached in, unlatched it, and dropped. Of the building, I could hear Vivian clamoring for admittance. I decided to let her clamor for another minute or two. It isn't a thing I often do, but I walked resolutely into the ladies' powder room. It was very well equipped. It had furniture, a telephone, and more clues than I needed. The magazines were there, the razor blades were there, the scotch tape was there. There was even a scraping of red sealing wax on the steel frame of the window slot. But best of all was what I found in the paper towel dispenser. I lifted it out and moved it next door to the men's washroom. Then I let her in.
What kept you so long? You'll spoil everything. I was afraid you'd...
Here comes your husband.
Oh. Come on, let me in.
What happened, Leo? You're early.
Any objection? I just got itchy, that's all. How are you, baby?
Don't, Leo. I'm so nervous. Strange.
What are we going to do, baby? What's Spade going to do for us?
Tell him, Sam. I'll leave you two alone to talk it out. Freshen up a little. Haven't had my face on all day.
Poor kid. Well, Spade, let's have it.
Yeah, she's right, Leo. I can do a lot for you. But you've got to do something for me.
Spade, this is level. I never saw those bonds.
I know that.
Then what are you after?
The truth. It's the only thing that can save you, and if you take this rap, I take it too. I'm in clear up to my neck.
Okay. Charlie Rosenfoy came around to Vivian and made her this proposition. He was going to pull this bail bond job and plant the goods on me to get even for the rap he thought he'd taken for me.
Mm-hmm.
Vivian pretended to play along with him, only she got hold of the package long enough to take the bonds out and put the old magazines in instead.
Yeah.
The idea was the mob would think Charlie had double-crossed them, taken the goods for himself, and delivered a phony packet to their banker, which was supposed to be me.
Sure.
Only you had to get smart and set off that burglar alarm. Now I'm getting the squeeze on all sides. The mob, the law, Charlie are all gunning for me at once.
Don't worry about the mob and the law, and don't worry too much about Charlie.
What are you driving at?
That'll be him now.
Who tipped him I was here?
Get back in the corner. It's dark in here. I'll never see you. I'll take care of it.
All right.
Hello, Charlie.
Who?
Come on in.
Oh, boy, babe. Get his gun. You're my friend.
Sure, I'm your friend. Come here.
Yeah, sure, babe.
Pleasant dreams, fellas. Now I act.
Hey, Charlie! No, Leo!
Vivian?
Sam? Is that you?
Yeah. The last of your boyfriends.
You mean Leo? Charlie?
Yeah. They just knocked each other off.
Well, Sam, I can't see. Dark. Where are you?
Right here in front of the jukebox.
You sure?
Hope to die. Drop it, Vivian. It's empty. Vivian, how could you? After Half Moon Bay. I'm sorry I had to knock you boys out, Leo, but better lumps than bullet holes, eh? After she started wrapping up the caper, it wasn't too hard to figure what she was up to, providing you could keep her smoke out of your eyes. She told Charlie how to operate on you and told you how to operate on Charlie. $1 million for her and two dead gangsters lying on the floor of an empty joint where they'd shot it out. The secret of the missing bonds would have to be written off by the police as having died with either one of whichever of you ever had them. Period. End of something.
Pardon me, Mr. Spade. I know you're tired. And if you toothbrush, please feel free to elude the whole matter.
Yes, okay, let's do that.
Thank you. Effie said that you were always glad to qualify any little points that she didn't understand.
Mm-hmm. She said that, did she?
Yeah. But she also said that quite accidentally that you sometimes leave things out that should be left in.
Bernadine, times are very bad. They're cutting salaries everywhere.
But where were they during the whole nefarious affair, if you'll pardon the expression?
The bonds? In the paper towel dispenser. Didn't I say so?
Oh, that's what you moved to the men's.
Mm-hmm.
But how did they get there? In the Walrinis, if you'll pardon the expression.
Simple. When the thieves whizzed through the alley after the heist, Vivian had her well-manicured little lunch hook thrust through the window slot to receive them.
Oh, that's how the red sailing wax got there.
Bernadine, you're spectacular. Now go and type this up. You're making me nervous.
You know what they say about people who like mysteries? Once a mystery fan, always a mystery fan. And that goes for hair tonics, too. Once a Wild Root Cream Oil fan, always a Wild Root Cream Oil fan. Just try it and you'll see what I mean. Wild Root Cream Oil grooms the hair neatly and naturally, relieves annoying dryness, and removes loose, ugly dandruff. So tonight, or first thing tomorrow, step up to your drug or toilet goods counter and ask for Wild Root Cream Oil. Get the big economy bottle and the handy new tube that's easy to pack when you travel. Also, ask your barber for a professional application of Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Well, here it is, Mr. Spade. I hope it's not too erroneous.
Oh, I'm sure it's quite offensive.
Don't you mean inoffensive, Mr. Spade?
Have it your way.
I don't want to sound imprudent, Mr. Spade, but I must say that your conduct through the whole thing was very brave and outrageous.
Don't you mean courageous?
Oh, now I've got you doing it. You're going to be just like Mr. Kummel.
Your previous employer, no doubt.
Yeah, poor man. You know, he finally became completely erasable. They had to take him away.
Mm-hmm. What were his symptoms?
Well, when he ordered the puppy biscuits, I thought he was just being concentric. But after a while, he wouldn't answer to anything but Rover. I had to sprinkle his flea powder in the morning, you know? And then he had his little tricks. He always wanted to show off, you know, sitting up and rolling over. He could shake hands, too.
What's so great about that? Any dog can shake hands.
Yeah, but can you scratch your ear with your foot?
If I set my mind to it. Now go home, Bernadine, or I'll report you to the SPCA.
You can't frighten me. Effie told me that your bark is worse than your bite. Good night, Mr. Spade.
Effie, in far-off Kanab, come home, sweetheart.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. The Adventures of Sam Spade are written for radio by Bob Tolman and Gil Dowd, with musical direction by Lud Gluskin. Gil Dowd directed tonight's broadcast in William Spear's absence. Join us again next Sunday for another adventure with Sam Spade, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. This is Dick Joy reminding you to
get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie. It keeps your hair in trim. You see, it's non-alcoholic, Charlie. It's made with soothing lanolin. You better get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie. Start using it today. You'll find that you will have a tough time, Charlie, keeping all the gals away.
Hiya, Baldy.
Get Wild Root right away.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
There you have it, The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, from June 27, 1948, with the bail bond caper. More after these words. All right, you know what, Lisa? That Sam Spade episode, very interesting. We had Sandra Gould replacing Lorene Tuttle. Lorene Tuttle played Effie Perrine on all of these shows, and Sandra Gould for a while took Lorene Tuttle's place. I don't know if she was like on vacation or maybe had an illness or whatever the case may be, but for about four or five episodes in a row, on Sam Spade. Sandra Gould took over for Lorene Tuttle's part. And Sandra Gould was on Bewitched. Remember,
oh,
she was Gladys.
Yes,
next,
I loved
remember,
her.
She was always like trying to.
She always used to, neighbor.
She always used to see, you know,
see her when she was doing her
doing
magic.
Something, and then nobody believed her.
I know,
right? But that's the kind of stuff that we love to find and put in the classic radio club. You know, these special kind of fun shows with the biggest stars. So, folks, if you don't know about the Classic Radio Club, you should be a member. Just go to our website, classicradioclub.com. You'll get 10 of the greatest classic radio shows sent to you every single month on 5 CDs. And you know what, Lisa? Something very, very interesting that we're doing. Within the next week or two, we are going to have a second option on the website where you can get digital downloads and save the shipping and handling. And then you can get these instantly sent to you. They don't have to come in the mail. Now, you won't get CDs if you choose the digital download, but you'll save some money, and you will get them instantly every month. You'll get the 10 shows digitally sent to you along with a PDF of the liner notes that I'm writing for these things. So you'll be able to either get the CDs sent to you with the 10 shows, or you can just get the digital downloads.
Great. I didn't know that was on the docket for
Yeah, I'm working on it right now. Yeah, we're actually working on the website to have that as an option. I think in about another week or so it should be up and running.
Well, a quick thing that we didn't talk about at the beginning of the show. We got a little sidetracked. We were so excited about the two-case guy. Really quickly, we had a delicate matter that we didn't bring up this week. So I know
What's that? You were out last week for surgery on Sunday. You mean my limb lengthening surgery?
Yes, and I want to know if it was successful.
I think the people may think you're actually serious about this.
Is that right?
I don't want people to, you know, we joke around a lot. I don't want people actually thinking that I, even though I am now 6 foot, it has nothing to do with the limb
length. Well, you grew about a foot then.
Yeah.
Because you were 5 foot last week. This week you're 6 feet tall.
I was 5'6" and a half, 5'7" last week.
Yeah,
and now
dreams.
I'm 6 foot tall.
So we'll have to document the
length. I wonder if it has anything to do with the 8-inch platform shoes that I'm wearing.
I don't know. We'll see. But I wanted to hear about your experience.
It was quite
experiential.
It was good. Let me just tell you that.
Great.
All right. In our next hour, we have Duffy's Tavern, one of the funniest radio series from the golden age of radio. And on that show, Vincent Price is the special guest. After that, it's Gangbusters. So much more classic radio coming your way right here on the greatest radio station in the world.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
You know what, Lisa? I remember several Thanksgivings ago, we were asked to fill in and do a special Thanksgiving show for somebody's show. I don't remember. And we did that. And so we must have been really bad.
It was probably really bad. I was good. You probably were bad.
We have never been asked to fill in for anybody else's show since.
That was our first year here at WGN, so that was almost 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
And no, not again. So you probably did something
wrong. You need to improve.
You did something wrong.
You need to be better at what you do.
You had a problem.
Because we're not going to get picked to subs. I mean, Thanksgiving's coming. Christmas is coming.
Right.
I keep waiting for my phone.
For Christmas,
I keep waiting for my phone to ring, and hopefully Stephanie or Todd will say, "Hey, how would you like to fill in for so-and-so show?" I don't think there's anybody here named so-and-so, but they wanted just me. Yeah.
So I was trying
to keep it from you. I'm waiting for the call. We got the call the first year.
We did.
And we must have.
You must have.
Wah, wah.
That would
must
be
have
you.
Bombed out.
Yeah, well, speak for yourself over there.
But anyway, we're on for our own show. We have our own show to do, at least. Thankfully.
At least is right.
And in this hour, Duffy's Tavern, one of the funniest radio shows of the radio days. We're going to go back to 1951 for that. Ed Archie Gardner stars along with Vincent Price as the guest star. Then in hour three, it's Gangbusters. But don't forget, folks, we have a text in line. It is 312-981-7200. That's our text in line.
If somebody just texted in. They're on the WGN website, and it's playing Sam Spade, but the photo is just like a WGN logo.
Mm.
So unfortunately, you can't see us, but maybe it's better that way because, you know, Carl has that effect on people sometimes.
Yes. That's true. All right, we're gonna play our Cat's Pride game. Well, it's really not a game.
It's not. It's real or ridiculous.
Well, it kind of is a game, really.
It's a game.
Kind of a game.
We like to play games
around
here.
Cat's Pride, real or ridiculous. And we're going to take what caller?
We're going to take caller 5.
Caller 5. And what's
celebrity,
the subject?
The celebrity is Katherine Hepburn.
Oh, Katherine Hepburn.
And
sure.
The prize.
Heard of her.
Well, I hope so. I try to choose people we've all heard of. The prize is a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time Christmas Creations.
All right. Call right now, 312-981-7200. Play Cat's Pride, real or ridiculous, with us live on the air. Be the fifth caller. Call now, 312-981-7200. We'll be right back. Come on, baby.
We have Richard on the line to play a little Real or Ridiculous. Hey, Richard.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
Hello, Carl.
Hey, what's up, Richard?
How are you guys doing?
So good. We're glad you made it through. Caller 5. We're going to play a little Real or Ridiculous about Katherine Hepburn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, statement number 1. Okay. She was a tomboy growing up, and she called herself Michael. What do you think?
I say probably.
Probably true, real?
Mm.
Like that, Carl?
I think so, yeah, true. I would say real.
Okay, I'm sorry. That one is ridiculous. She was a tomboy growing up, but she called herself Jimmy.
Yeah, but that's not fair because it's half true and half.
That's true.
I think that's like a trick question, right,
Richard?
It was
a little tricky.
I don't know, Lisa.
It was a pretty tricky.
You're right, it was tricky.
It was sneaky.
I'm a little sneaky. I'll give you half point on that one.
All right.
I'm
going
to give you half a point. All right, Richard. She was fired from her role on The Big Pond because she showed up late.
Ridiculous.
I'm going to say real.
That one is real. I promise you that's true. That's okay. We've got one more. One more. You're on it. Okay, Richard. She had the world's third largest collection of butterflies.
That's possible.
That sounds real.
Yeah.
I think you have butterflies in your belfry. I think it is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But you know what, Richard? You got a half a point. And for that half a point, you know what you get?
I'm going to have a Christmas tree, right?
That's right. For that half a point, you get a half a certificate, but you get the whole darn thing for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time Christmas Creations. It's on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. It features the most ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees and unique decorations. You get a half a tree, but just because we love you, we're going to give you a whole tree.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so
very
much.
Very generous, Lisa.
I know.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Richard. Great to talk to you. All right. Well, that was fun. Lisa, you can't do that to our listeners.
I know.
Half of it right, half of it something else.
I know. I was a little sneaky.
You know what?
Yep. That's what
you
happens.
You just showed your true side.
That's
your
right.
Sneaky
My
side.
My sneakiness came
She's
out.
She's kind of sneaky, that Lisa Wolf.
What can you
we
do?
We love her, though.
No.
All right. It's,
no.
It's time for Duffy's Tavern. And this was a great comedy series. Came to radio in 1940. Duffy's Tavern was a flea-infested dive on 3rd and 23rd Streets in New York City where the elite meet to eat. Ed Gardner was Archie the manager, and Duffy the owner, he was never there. He was an absentee owner, never showed up on the show. But he would call in at the beginning of the program, check on the tavern, and that gave Archie a chance to tell him what was going on, like who the guest star might be. And on this particular episode from January 5th, 1951, Vincent Price is the special guest star. So let's go back right now to 1951 for part one of Duffy's Tavern.
It's Duffy's Tavern, the Friday night transcribed feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, and by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia. Here we go, friends, to Duffy's Tavern with our guest, Vincent Price, and starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet to eat. Archie, the man you're speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Guess who's coming down tonight? One of the finest actors of our day, Duffy.
No.
Not Dustin Farnham. No, not Hobart Bosworth. Duffy, I said our day, not yours. It's Vincent Price, Duffy. You know the guy. He plays the hate interest in them psychopathical murder dramas. You know, he's always the louse. Pictures, you know, when Price says, I think I'll take the head off, he ain't talking about a beer. That's all them dirty, nasty characters, though, in a real suave manner, sort of a soft-spoken, loud mouth. With that, you know, that sweet, soothing kind of a voice. Don't know whether you should listen to it or pour it on a waffle. But in person, Duffy, he's different. He's every inch a gentleman, with lots of savoir-faire, you know, the type of a guy you just know that he looks dignified in his long underwear. How's the crowd here? Oh, it's the usual after the night court crowd. Well, look, I got an idea how we can swank up the place if you listen. Well, look, Duffy, who are the biggest spenders? Actors, see? And it's obvious why. You see, actors never have any dough. But they don't want nobody to know it. So, ergo, they spend it like mad. Yeah, well, my idea is to turn this joint into an exclusive private club where only actors can be members, see, like the Lambs Club. Yeah, well, we'll get Vincent Price and call it the Hams Club. All right, I'll call you back, Duffy. Hey, Eddie, now look, I want this club to be different. Now, the first thing we do is to drill one of them peek holes in the door, huh?
Well, why does this hole in the wall need a hole in the door?
Eddie, every club's got one, so that sort of management can look out and see that nobody gets in but bona fide members.
Well, if you put a pee hole in the door, nobody is gonna come in.
Why not?
Well, if you can look out, they can look in. Now, Mr. Hart, how are you going to get any actors to join this club?
By signing up Vincent Price. You see, Eddie, we've built a better mousetrap here, but in order to catch the right mice, we have to bait the trap with the proper piece of cheese. Namely, Vincent Price.
Mr. Archie, what could a man like Mr. Price do in a dump like this?
All the things he's accustomed to.
Not if he's accustomed to breathing.
Okay, so we'll air condition the joint.
We tried that once, and you remember what happened?
What?
Yeah, we crawled back into the bottle.
This time we'll hold it out with pliers. Now, what else do we need for the club? Oh, yeah, we'll need a game room.
Game room?
Yeah, that back room where we keep the pig's feet.
Yeah, that's pretty gamey, all right.
Now, what else do I have in the private clubs? Oh, yeah, a library.
Well, what's going to be the library?
We'll dust off that World Almanac over there.
Look, Mr. Archie, in the first place, that almanac is from 1914. In the second place, one almanac don't make a library.
Let me take your objections in order. Firstly, about the almanac being 1914, the Declaration of Independence is a great work, ain't it?
Yep.
When was it wrote?
1776.
Touché. Your secondly objection that one almanac don't make a library. To that, I reply the word is almanac, not almanac. Ergo, touche again.
Yeah, I think you're slightly touched in the head.
Yes, Miss Duffy?
I want to ask you something very important.
What is it?
If a fellow says, dearest beloved, I love you more than the sun, the moon, the stars, more than life itself. Be mine, beautiful Miss Duffy. Be mine. Is that committing himself?
Well, yes and no.
What do you mean, yes and no?
Yes and no guy in his right mind would say it.
Well, it so happens that it was said to me by my boyfriend, Rodney Maximilian Haybinder.
Miss Duffy, you still interested in that bum?
Bum?
Tom.
You heard me.
Archie, it so happens that at Farnaby's Barber College, Rodney is the only one to hold a safety award.
Really? Safety award?
Yes. He's the one man in his class that they trust to singe sideburns without the professor standing by with a fire extinguisher.
What'd they give him for the reward? A hot towel with his name lathered on it? Are you kidding, Miss Duffy? This guy really goes to a barber college?
You think I run around with illiterates? Here, look at this letter.
Let me see. Darling Miss Duffy, I thought about you all today at shaving class. Look, this letter is a little too mushy for me. Maybe you better read it. What happened to him at shaving class?
Well, let's see. So, dearest, the professor gave me 4 demerits. Just for a tiny nip a customer noticed on his earlobe. And, darling, I'm really surprised he noticed it, as the earlobe was on the floor at the time. Then, in my confusion, I made matters even worse by giving the customer somebody else's earlobe.
Kind of a barber this guy is, but he certainly writes beautiful love letters, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Don't be sarcastic, Archie. It happens that there are a lot of X's at the bottom of the letter.
X's, huh? Are they sort of smeared in red?
Now that you mention it, yeah.
Huh? Miss Duffy, you know, you're really a lucky girl. It's a lucky thing that the guy didn't go to a guillotine college. Customers be walking around without heads.
Hello, Arch.
Oh, hiya, Finnegan.
Hello, Finnegan.
Good evening, Miss Duffy. Why, you look pretty.
Thank you, Finnegan.
Every day you look better. Yesterday you looked better than the day before, and today, you look like the morning after.
Well, thank you.
Oh, don't mention it. Say, Arch, I hear you're starting a new club.
That's right.
Is it going to have dames in it?
No, Finnegan, no dames. It's going to be strictly non-sextarian.
So in that case, I think I'll just stick to the YWCA.
Finnegan, the YWCA is for women only.
It is?
Yeah.
No wonder they keep throwing me out of the steam room.
Look, Finnegan, this club that I'm going to have here is just going to be for actors. But if you'd like to join, I'll use my influence to get you in.
No, thanks, George. I'm too particular.
What do you mean, particular?
You think I'd join a club that takes people like me?
I think you got a point there, Finnegan.
Besides, I belong to too many clubs already.
What clubs do you belong to?
Oh, the Lonely Hearts Club, the Al Flairden for President Club. That was disbanded, by the way. Nobody told me why. Oh, then I belong to the Book of the Month Club.
You belong to the Book of the Month Club?
Yeah. I have a special membership. They just sent me the pictures.
It's a very good club, that Book of the Month Club. Do you attend their meetings?
It's a funny thing, Arch. They don't have meetings.
Really?
Nope. No meetings, no parties, no vaulting. Honestly, I think the whole thing is a scheme to sell books.
To me, you sound more like you just came out of the Canadian club.
Please, Arch, I got enough trouble with books. What would I do with a Canadian every month?
If you'd like to have some fun, why don't you go over to that stove in the kitchen and stick your head in the oven? Maybe your brains will expand.
Good idea, Arch. I'll set the oven for a slow broil.
And every 5 minutes, I'll come in and baste you. Now, Eddie, did you start fixing up the game room?
Not yet.
Well, when you do, I got a terrific idea. See, we'll get a dartboard and some darts so that the actors can really have a lot of fun with themselves.
How?
We'll cover the dartboard with pictures of their agents. Game room looks pretty good here, except for one thing.
What's that?
I don't think our more conservative members will like this picture of September Morn. Tell you what you do.
What?
Put a hatchet in her hand, and we'll call it Custer's Last Stand. Now, let's see. What else does the club need?
Members?
Members? Oh, don't worry, Eddie. With Vincent Price joining up, we'll have all the actors from Hollywood dropping in.
Well, if they're going to drop, this is the place to do it.
Hello? Oh, hello, Duffy. You been thinking it over and you want to join the Actors Club? Duffy, you an actor? You get strange fright when you have to call out your floor in a crowded elevator. But Duffy, I'm telling you, the place is strictly for actors. Now look, holler and take it off, but a burlesque show don't make you no actor. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll compromise you. I'll make you the chairman of a membership committee. But remember, no fair blackballing guys just because they ain't Irish. Okay, Duffy. Now, Eddie, I gotta get this dart game set up. Where's the pictures of them agents?
Right here.
Yeah, the agents' pictures, yeah. Mm. You know, they ain't gonna be easy targets.
Why not?
Even in the pictures, their eyes keep shifting back and forth. Wait a minute, Eddie. Eddie, did you notice that?
The what?
A dart just hit that agent right in the middle of his package.
Then our first actor must be here.
He is. The spotlight, if you please.
Well, it's Vincent Price. Well, good evening, Mr. Price. Leave me W welcome to this distinguished establishment. And furthermore...
Thank you, Archie, and may I say...
Just a minute. Leave me further say, Mr. Price, that seldom have we behooved such an august presentiment to these confines. And further besides...
Now, Archie, if you don't mind, I'd like to...
Please. I ain't through. The man is in love with the sound of his own voice.
That's the first portion of Duffy's Tavern, January 5th, 1951, Ham's Club, with Vincent Price as our special guest star on this program. A lot of fun on Duffy's Tavern. This is actually my brother Vince's favorite radio show, Mr. Crabby Brother Vince.
Well, some things make him happy, and this is one of them.
He loves this show. He doesn't like Gildersleeve, though.
I know.
He can't stand there.
You know, for all the people who love Cheers, they would love Duffy's Tavern.
Yeah. He doesn't like Gildersleeve.
I know.
And I just think Gildersleeve is fantastic.
There are others who get annoyed by the laugh. So, you know, everybody's got their own thing.
Leroy.
We all have things about each other that annoy us.
I'm going to do that to you just over and over.
I'm already not enjoying it.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Yes, indeed. Are you Carl Amari or are you Lisa Wolf?
I know, we're just...
Late at night.
It's really confusing.
I get very confused.
We do look a lot alike.
We do.
So it can be confusing.
Well, now that my hair is all silver, kind of looks like
you're
blonde.
Now that you're taller,
hair.
We're almost the same.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm 6 foot now thanks to the limb lengthening surgery.
You can't even say that.
Limb lengthening.
Yes.
All right. Our text in line, 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts.
And we want to wish everybody happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I know everybody's preparing for the
four days from now, right? Something like that?
For the big meal.
Yeah. What are you doing for Thanksgiving, Lisa?
I am going with my family to my in-laws' house.
Oh, great.
And you know what? We're just going to take all the kids are home, so we're going to have a nice, busy week at home.
Very cool. I'm going over to my sister, Carlene. She's cooking.
Good.
Because I can't.
I can't either.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're listening to Duffy's Tavern. Here's the conclusion.
Let me see. Oh, and feel assured, Mr. Price, that your visit is a bereavement from which we will not soon recover. Is anything you desire, just beck or call.
There's just one thing I would like.
What?
An edgewise.
An edgewise?
Yeah, so I can put a word in.
Okay, what's the word?
Goodbye.
Goodbye, but you just got here.
Can you think of a better time to leave?
Wait, but you ain't had anything to eat yet.
What? Eat here in this moldy mocambo? I'd sooner die.
There is no sooner way.
Well, Benson, I'm glad I'm finally meeting up with you, you know, especially after so many of our friends have said that we resemble each other.
Friends say that?
Yeah, lots of them.
Then let it be known by our enemies.
I'm glad to see that you're a philosopher about it, Benson. I didn't get sore neither. But, you know, as I look at the both of us, I can see the resemblance. Take our belts. We're about the same height. What do you weigh?
About 190.
Well, there you got about 90 pounds on me. Of course, me shoulders is a little narrower than yours.
Archie, they only seem narrower because your ears stick out so
much. Well, that's logical. But you believe me, Vincent, you darken me up a little, give me an hour with a curler, dab a little makeup on me, and I'd look enough like you to spit at your image. But there's one way in which you and me is different. Huh?
Thank heavens for that. What is it?
Our diction.
Oh, yes, of course. Our diction.
Yeah, yours is lousy. Yeah, me, I like to use big words, you know?
Big words, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I can think of one right now.
Oh, yeah? What's yours?
I hesitate to tell you.
I bet I can think of an even longer one. In fact, I started using big words the minute I learned how to talk.
How old were you when you learned how to talk?
19. See, and by that time I was already in college.
You went to college?
How do you think I got so cultured?
You are cultured?
You don't believe it? Recite some Shakespeare to me. I'll show you how intelligent I can look.
But I doubt it, Archie, but you aroused my curiosity. Very well. He jested scars that never felt a wound. But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east and Juliet is the sun.
Hey, George!
Yeah, Finnegan?
Who's the mushmouth?
What's the matter? You sore because someone stole your forehead?
Hey, George, can I punch this guy in the nose, please?
No. Just reply in a gentlemanly manner that you never had a forehead.
Okay. Look, bud, I never had a forehead. Arch, now could I punch you in the nose?
Benny, please, no fisticuffs. Mushmouth here happens to be a gentleman. Perhaps I better introduce you. Vincent Price, Clifton Finnegan. Highbrow, no brow.
Okay, bud. Let's shake hands and be friends.
Isn't there a more sanitary way?
Hey! Hey, I remember you. I seen you in that picture, The Three Musketeers.
And again, that's The Three Musketeers, not Mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah? I seen it in an open-air movie in Jersey.
I thought all that slapping was applause.
Finnegan, next time you go to an open-air movie, instead of popcorn, you better take DDT.
But don't worry, Arch.
What's wrong with it?
Stuff tastes lousy.
Did you ever try citronella with a scoop of ice cream?
Hey, bud, ain't you a little nut?
Vincent, you'll have to excuse Finnegan. You see, just before he was born, his mother had a bad case of fright.
Well, what happened?
His father walked into the room. Well, at least you met the guy.
Hey, say, Arch.
Oh, good heavens, he's back in a wig.
This is Miss Duffy, man's best friend.
Well, Miss Duffy, I can't tell you how happy it makes me to have this
opportunity of meeting you.
This guy's a better actor than I thought he was.
Oh, shut up, Archie. Oh, Mr. Price.
Yeah?
I'm not doing anything tonight.
That does not surprise me.
You didn't give me a chance to finish.
He was hoping he wouldn't give you a chance to start.
Archie, please. What I was wondering, Mr. Price, is whether you would like a date with me tonight.
Oh, but Miss Duffy, what about my wife?
I'll let her get her own date.
Oh, but I can't possibly go out tonight.
Why not?
Just look at this horrible haircut some idiot gave me.
Barber college job if I ever seen one. What'd the guy do, cut it or chew it off?
Now, Archie, that's not the worst part. I also got a shave, and just look at these earlobes.
What about them?
They don't match.
You're the one who caused all that trouble for Rodney.
Well, Miss Duffy, please. Someone would like to see you outside.
Who?
Me. Get out of here. Now, Vincent, leave us get to the point. We're turning Duffy's into a high-class actors club, you see. Very ulterior. And we'd like you to be the first member.
The first and only?
Well, not the only member. After you find out how wonderful, exclusive the club is, we'll naturally expect you to suck in some of your friends. Well, what do you say to our new Lambs Club? Don't get it, Vince. This club's going to be wonderful. Just picture. A warm, luxurious room. A roaring hearth. In the fireplace. Low lights, you know, and soft dive-ins. Them little day beds. Pictures of great actors hanging on a wall. Edwin Booth, Sarah Bernhardt, Richard Mansfield, Abbott and Costello, Maury Amsterdam. All of them.
What about my picture?
Your picture, yeah. I think I have the very place to put it.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, you ain't heard me out. We'll hang it in a place of honor. Under the pig's feet.
Under them? Don't I even get top billing?
Why should you? After all, don't forget the pig's feet have been here longer than you have. Well, what do you say? Will you join if I can get you in?
Well...
Good. Excuse me. Hello? Oh, look, Duffy. We got good tidings. Vincent Price wants to join the club. What? Duffy, I can't do that. No, you can't with a guy like Price. Okay. Mr. Price.
What?
The chairman of the membership committee desires you to audition.
Audition?
Yeah, you see, this club is only for actors, and the chairman has certain doubts.
Well, hasn't he seen any of my pictures?
That's what gave him the doubts.
Tell him to go soak his head.
Right now, he's too busy with his feet. Now, what do you say? Will you give the audition?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Why not?
Well, as I said, if I auditioned for that horrible Duffy, I'd be a bigger ham than I think I am, and I couldn't be.
Don't worry, you are. So what do you say? Duffy's listening.
Well, all right. I'll start off with a recitation.
Good. Why don't you give him a little of that Shakespeare, huh?
Very well. to be or not to be, that is the question.
Hold it, Vince. Hello? Okay, Duffy. Not to be. Vince, don't you know no songs or jokes?
Yes, I know some jokes.
Well, go ahead and spring one. Duffy likes jokes.
Oh, well, very well. Here's a very funny one.
Great so far.
Well, it goes like this. You see, a little boy left his home, and he didn't come back for 6 years. When he returned, he knocked on the door, and his mother said, "Hello, Cookie." So the little boy said, "Why do you call me Cookie?" And the mother answered,
I call you Cookie because you've been a wafer so long.
Do you get it, Archie?
I got it, but I don't think it's going to stay with me.
Well, I know an even funnier one.
Impossible. How does this one go?
Well, it goes like this. Pat says to Mike, he says, I just received a letter from my sister. She must be very ill. So Mike says to Pat, really? How do you know? So Pat replies, well, she started the letter by saying, I'm in Chicago, sick.
Oh, Archie, I'm afraid I messed it up. I should have said, I'm in Chicago, ill.
Mr. Price, and, just happens that that joke just reached Chicago dead.
Better tell another one, Vincent, but not quite so funny this time. I don't want to split and explain.
Well, actually, do you think Duffy knows the one about the woman who says, I just bought a dog, and the man says, sit? And the woman says,
nobody drools a little.
Okay, Duffy. Well, that's so much for jokes. What else can you do?
Well, I can sing a bit.
You can sing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take a try on it.
Well, very well. Stand back now.
You made me what I am today. I hope you're satisfied. You dragged and dragged me down until the hope within me died. You shattered each and every dream. You fooled me from the start. And although you're not true, may God
to be standing right here next to it. Okay, I'll tell him. Mr. Price.
Yes?
The chairman of the membership committee has decided your case in the affirmative. You're out. Furthermore, the chairman has asked me to dissolve the club, so you have earned a rare distinction, Mr. Price.
Well, what do you mean?
This is the first time in history that an entire club has resigned from a member.
Next week, friends, to Duffy's Tavern, the Friday night transcribed feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, and by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. Listen tomorrow evening for The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, the Saturday night feature of the All-Star Festival.
Now that is a funny radio show, Lisa Wolf. Duffy's Tavern, January 5th, 1951. Special guest, Vincent Price. We'll be right back. A lot of people text in asking for the website to 2Ks again. So let's give that website. It is TUKAIZ.com. And folks, we had Frank on a little earlier talking about all of the things that 2K's does. We got our business cards there. They do amazing websites. They do printing. They do social media and marketing. Lisa Wolf, what else does 2K's do?
Well, here's the thing. If you want to order it through WGN and get one of the personalized products, like the personalized calendars, this is the place to go. So I'm going to give you the website for the personalized calendars and personalized holiday goods. It is WGNradio.2K'sProducts.com. And I have that posted on our WGN Radio Theater website. Our Facebook page.
So just go to Facebook and search
WGN Radio Theater. Make sure to like us and check out the website for the 2K's personalized products. It is WGNradio.2K'sProducts.com.
And if you need a website, whether it's sort of an entry-level website all the way up to like a Fortune 500 website, I mean, they do websites for major, major companies. Just go to 2Ks.com. It's T-U-K-A-I-Z.com. And talk to them about a website. They're in Franklin Park. They're a local company. They've been around since 1963. And I know that's a long time because that's how old I am.
And, you know, we had Frank in the studio tonight, and he's a nice guy. And I know he'd be happy to talk to you and take care of your personal needs.
Family-owned and operated company. You're going to love. I have been working with 2K's. I was telling you earlier, I have been getting my plates for my printing of my catalogs from 2K's for like 25 years.
And Frank was a listener of WGN Radio Theater before we even met him.
I know.
So, you know, it's one small happy world.
So do go to 2K's, T-U-K-A-I-Z.com. You will love their company. All right, in our next hour, we're going to tune into Gangbusters. You don't want to miss that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it is 10 minutes after 1. Thank you, Roger. It is hour 3 of the WGN Radio Theater. And don't forget, tonight when we come back here, we're not on at our regular time. We are being preempted a whole hour. We start at midnight, and we'll have our Thanksgiving show, My Friend Irma Thanksgiving Show with Marie Wilson. Right, Lisa?
Right.
So that's tonight when we come back here at midnight. Don't forget, mark your calendars. You can sleep an extra hour. All right?
Well, or stay up an extra hour, one
True.
Or the other.
All right, so it's time to play our game. In this hour, we're going to listen to Gangbusters, but before that, it's time to play our game, Cat's Pride, Real or Ridiculous. Who's the celebrity?
The celebrity is Robert De Niro.
You've Robert De Niro, yes.
And the prize will be a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers.
Okay, very good. What caller would you like,
Lisa? We're going to go with caller 3.
Caller 3. Call us now, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Play the game live on the air with us. We'll be right back.
Come on, baby.
You're ridiculous.
I know.
You're ridiculously
Thank
smart.
You.
And beautiful and talented.
Yeah.
And
keep going. You can't think of anything else.
And vivacious.
All right, thank you. And you're just plain old ridiculous. Let's talk to Carrie. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
So good. We're so glad you're going to play a little Real or Ridiculous with us.
All right.
The Real scares me because it could be anything.
It absolutely could. The good news is it's only one or the other. So
Carrie,
you got a 50-50 shot.
I'm going to tell you one thing right now, though. I have like 12 in a row right here. So you should probably, if you need me as a lifeline, let me know.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go
with Carrie. All right, Carrie, here we go. Number one, Robert De Niro gained 60 pounds for his role in Raging Bull. Is that real or ridiculous?
I believe that's real.
Carl?
That's absolutely real, and he won an Academy Award. And the movie came out in 1980.
Are you done?
1980, I think it was.
No, it was before that.
Yeah,
anyways, you are right, and you are right. It is real.
Yes, it is.
But it was all muscle. It wasn't stretching. That was all muscle because he bulked up.
Yep. It's true. See, that's what you need to do. Gain a little weight. Gain a little muscle, Carl.
Oh, I have no problem gaining weight. Let me tell you that.
Just keep it muscle. All right, Carrie, number two. For Cape Fear, he paid a dentist $20,000 to mess up his teeth.
I'm going to say that's ridiculous.
I think it's real.
Really?
Yeah.
It is real. Yeah. That is absolutely wow. right. And then, of course, yeah, he had to get him back.
Told you.
It was real. All
He's
right.
He's missing lifeline, buddy.
Mr. Know-it-all over here. Mr. Know-it-all. Okay, Carrie, number three. As a child, Robert De Niro fell off a horse and suffered three cracked ribs and a broken hand.
I think that's real.
I'm going to say ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Okay. Carl,
I am
him.
On fire.
The good news is
you're
Carl.
On fire. You can't lose.
He's on fire, but he does not win.
Get a fire extinguisher, folks, because I am on fire.
Okay. Well, there's a song about that. Little Bruce Springsteen. But, Carrie, you're a winner. You've won the desktop indoor weather station. It's brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-Minute Men. Give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. Thank you for playing, Carrie. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Way to go, Carrie.
Love the show.
Thanks a lot.
All right. It's time for Gangbusters. This was created by Phillips H. Lord in 1935. The show's been on the air. 1935.
Since your birthday.
Yeah. Into the 1950s, and then it became a television show as well. These were actual true crime cases from the closed files of the FBI, and the bureau director, J. Edgar Hoover, was a big fan of the show. He cooperated with the producers on this show, and as I say, it moved to television in 1957. We have a broadcast for you now from December 27, 1947, called The Triple Threat Bandit. This stars Frank Reddick, who was one of the first actors to play the Shadow on radio, and also Mercedes McCambridge, who supplied the voice of the demon in the movie The Exorcist.
Right.
Yeah, so she did a lot of movies and TV and vocal stuff.
Yeah,
she's in a lot of radio shows. You'll recognize her. Here's part one now of Gangbusters.
Now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case histories. Gangbusters!
Tonight, the case of the Triple Threat Bandits, whose leader used a broom as the principal cover in his subtlest disguise, but learned even that was unable to hide his soiled record.
And now to Gangbusters and facts that show the operation of our law enforcement officials in their war against the underworld. Gangbusters has asked Inspector of Detectives Eugene Bernath, Police Department, Minneapolis, Minnesota, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. The inside facts in the case of the Triple Threat Bandits. Inspector Bernath, I understand the gang in tonight's case thought that a clever sort of disguise would provide them plenty of protection.
That's right, Don Gardner. But they were to learn that fast communication systems and efficient exchange of police information, plus cooperation from federal law enforcement agencies, is making long-range criminal operation less and less successful.
Well, suppose you tell us about tonight's case, Inspector Bernath.
All right, Don. I think it would be best to start about 6 months ago in the city of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Near the ballpark of the Minneapolis Millers, at a bar patronized by the sporting crowd, a stranger was buying drinks for the few hangers-on remaining late one night. He was just finishing one of his favorite stories as the porter approached with his broom to gather in stray cigarette butts.
He says to her, she says back to him, she says, well, I don't like to ride streetcars either. You got some other way to go?
Excuse me, please. I'd like to sweep a little bit under the stools, huh?
Sure. Sit where you like. When you're finished, I'll buy you a drink.
No, thanks, mister. I never touch this stuff.
Oh, Mr. Hemming never touches this stuff.
It ain't good for athletes. He used to be a middleweight champion
of Lazarus County.
Yeah, but... Hey. Why, Frank. Frank.
You speak to me?
Frank, how you been? Hey, what are you doing here?
I'm no Frank, I'm Nick. You're mixed up a little bit. Excuse me. There's more cigarette butts over there.
Come on, the guy's punchy. How about another story?
Yeah, in a minute. Hey, Nick. Whatever you call yourself.
Yeah? I'd swear you're a guy I used to know. A guy named Frank. He wasn't no boxer.
Is that right? No kidding.
No kidding.
That's Nick, not Frank.
Excuse me, mister. Wait a minute.
Yeah?
If you ain't Frank, how come you look so much like him?
You're Frank. He pushes a broom, too?
Ah. He pushes something else.
1118 Walker Street, 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
Apartment 6.
Sure, Frank. I'll see you.
Nick, 3 o'clock.
Excuse me, mister.
Okay. Okay, don't lose your head. Who is it?
Me.
Oh, you. Yeah. Just a second, you. Come in, you. Come in.
Where's Nick?
Oh, someplace. Come on, I'll fix you a drink.
I'm not interested in the drink. Where's Nick?
I got rye and scotch and gin and rye and rye. And that's all.
I never drink in the afternoon.
Neither do I. But I read in the paper we're having a total eclipse.
Look, lady, just tell Nick that Cena was here. I got a little date with him at 3 o'clock.
Did you say rye?
I said Nick.
Oh, yeah, Nick. Nick and soda or water on the side?
Excuse me, but did anybody ever tell you about orange juice?
Sure. Nick.
Uh-huh. Now we're getting someplace. If you'll just...
Hey, Cena.
Frank.
Come in here until I finish getting dressed.
Goodbye.
Don't drown in that stuff.
Go ahead, Cena. I'll be dressed in a minute.
Sure, Frank. Nick. Okay, Nick. Look, who's the female rum-dum? Yeah, Vicky, if that's her name.
She's my housekeeper.
Okay, say no more. But doesn't that Kentucky ketchup she drinks get in the way of her duties, whatever they may be?
Yeah, she's carrying some kind of torch. She's sober when she has to be.
And what about that routine with a broom? What kind of a gimmick is that?
It's a job. I told the guy I was a fallen gladiator in the ring. Well, I got a job.
Fine job. Who needs it?
Yeah, I like the shirt. Made the order. $18.
For one?
Now, how many do you think? A dozen?
Gotta have something to wear to work.
Sam, how'd you like a soft spot?
With a broom, no thanks.
I've been tearing this town apart. And St. Paul, too. Back and forth across the river. Liquor stores are a pushover.
Alone?
Mostly. Vicky helps with the driving and the casing when I need it.
She can kill two birds with one store.
Well, how about it?
You think the two of us can do better?
Much better. Then the three of us and the four of us and the five of us. Do better all along. Better and better.
Excuse me, Nick. That's a lot of talk coming from a guy who's right now pushing a broom.
Maybe. But if anybody starts asking questions, a steady job is a nice answer. Also, that tavern's going to be the one big touch before I blow this down.
Yeah, I can see how big. $1.34 and 2 quarts of beer.
You see, you don't know nothing.
Okay, tell me something.
On certain nights, a safe in that joint has got nearly 30 grand in it.
30 grand? In cash?
What do you think, lock washers?
Okay. Where do you get them 18-buck shirts?
Yeah. Gotta wait our moments.
Oh, I can wait. If meantime I got what to eat.
There's still plenty of liquor stores.
Good, good. Let's try one on for size. And I'll tell you what. We can bring your housekeeper back a present.
Inspector of Detectives Minneapolis to Chief of Detectives St. Paul. Liquor store bandit also joined here by number 2 man of similar description. 2 jobs last night.
Hello?
Are you sober, Vicky?
Yes. Do you want to do something about it?
Get hold of Cino. Tell him tonight's the night. Safe is loaded.
I wish I was.
Tell him to be at the back door 5 minutes after closing.
5 minutes after closing. I'll tell him.
You'll be there with the car, just at the spot we figured.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Okay. So long.
Nick.
Yes, sir, Mr. Lander.
Let's get the place cleaned up fast tonight. I want to get home as quick as I can.
Yes, sir, me too. Let's get cleaned up fast, huh?
Nick.
Yes, sir, Mr. Lander.
Where are you going?
We'll just to dump the trash out and back.
Oh, yeah. Well, make it snappy, you know, like it was the 10th round coming up.
Sure, make it snappy. Everything make it snappy, eh? Yes, sir, snappy.
Nick.
Lena.
Everything okay, Nick? How's it look?
You'll be fine. Now, march me back in there, but you gotta make it look good for the boss. Keep your face covered.
Okay. Go ahead, Nick. March.
You're all set on how to handle, guy.
Yeah, and a safe tool.
Okay, Sino. Here goes.
All right, get in there.
Okay, I'm going.
Keep those hands up.
Yes, sir, mister.
Hey, what's the... Put your hands in the air, mister, and walk over here.
All right, take it easy.
So hold up, Mr. Lander.
He knows it. Go ahead, walk to the safe, both of you. Go on, walk.
Yeah, I guess we better, Mr. Lander. Maybe he'd shoot us.
Or worse, go on.
All right. Now, I don't want a sound out of either of you. I want the dough out of that safe, and I want all of
it. I don't know nothing about safes. Honest, mister,
just
I don't...
walk. Come on, let's get him. No, you don't. Stand at me.
But I don't know how to...
Wise guy.
You should have helped me, Nick.
Quiet.
I didn't figure he'd fight the gun.
Shut up. He's dead.
Go on, get out of here.
But he's dead. We might as well get the dough.
How are we going to open a safe? Go on, scram you.
What about the cops?
I'm in the clear. Go on, get out.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
So, Don, the carefully planned robbery during which Nichols and Sino hoped to get the contents of the safe ended with the shooting of Nichols' employer. Nichols waited for the police to arrive at the scene and told them the story he'd so carefully contrived. But the case suddenly took a fantastic turn, and the gang leader found his plans might very well lead to immediate arrest.
That's the first portion of Gangbusters. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
It is 1:36 in the morning.
And I just want to remind everybody, so there's very clear that we will be on tonight, but not until midnight. So stay up one extra hour. It will be worth it. My friend Irma will be great. But it's starting at midnight instead of 11 p.m.
Yep.
tonight. So
good,
just a reminder.
Thanksgiving show with my friend Irma. But right now, time for the conclusion to Gangbusters.
Now back to Gangbusters. You were telling us, Inspector Bernath, how the criminal Nichols staged a hold up at the Minneapolis Tavern where he held a cover job.
That's right, Don. But the crime took an unexpected turn when Nichols' confederate, Sino, shot the tavern manager. Sino fled the scene, and as Nichols brazenly phoned for the police, Sino returned to Nichols' apartment where he met the girl, Vicky.
Mm-hmm. Shut up, will you?
What's the matter with you?
Can't you lay off that bug juice for a while? We got troubles.
What's a little thing like murder?
Keep quiet about it. What are you blabbing your mouth off for?
Brother, you need a drink.
It's the last thing I need. It's the devil naked get here.
So do I. I'm getting hungry.
Where do you keep those matches?
If they were any closer, they'd strike on your nose. The table, they're right on the table.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. You want a cigarette?
Nasty habit.
Hope Nick's got some ideas. I hope... Is that Nick?
Who else? If he isn't feeling better than you...
Hey.
What?
Just a minute. I'll get it. Nick.
Yeah, come on, open up, will you?
Yeah, sure.
Well, we're in for it.
In for it? What do you mean?
Hello, Nick. Did you have fun?
Shut up, will you? What do you mean, Nick? We're in for it.
Lender isn't dead.
You're kidding.
They took him to the hospital. The cops told me he might pull through.
Hmm.
Should we feel sorry or glad? Hey, Nick, they don't suspect you, do they?
If they did, do you think he'd be here now?
Nick, if Lender heard us talking, if he ain't dead...
He was unconscious.
But he could have heard us talking if he tells
us... I said he was unconscious.
But unconscious people get conscious.
Sometimes it's nicer to be unconscious.
He probably passed out as soon as the shot hit him.
Yeah, but supposing he didn't. Supposing he knew what was going on.
Okay, suppose.
Hey, Nick, we just...
We got time.
I want to go now. I want to go quick.
They say Florida's nice this time of year.
Now, look. If I take a powder now, that's like signing a confession. If I stick around, we're all in good shape.
But the guy's bound to wake up. Why take the chance? I'm saying goodbye.
You're staying here as long as I tell you to stay.
Nick, I heard enough.
So did I.
Hey.
Who's that thing?
I'll make a guess.
Nick, it's the cops.
Get in the other room.
Yeah, okay. Talk, Nick. Talk fast.
Peggy, sit down and keep your mouth shut.
Okay.
Yes? Who is it?
Police officer. Open up.
I see you made it home all right, Nichols.
Yeah. I figured home was the best place.
That's a good way to figure.
Oh, Vicky, this is Detective Olson, Detective...
Wetherill.
Detective Wetherill.
Glad to see you.
Me too.
I just spoke to the hospital, Nichols.
Oh, yeah. How is Mr. Lender? Is he any better?
Much better, Nichols.
Oh, good. I was wishing he would be.
Nice place you've got here, Nichols.
Yeah, it's okay. And like I told you, I was smart. I saved a little from the fight game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's in there, the bedroom?
Yes, that's the bedroom. What's the doctor got to say about Mr. Lender? Go through that to see him shot down like that.
Must have been pretty rough.
Yeah, rough. That it was, rough.
Nichols, we think we might be on the right track of who that gunman is.
Yeah.
We think it's one of the two men who've been holding up liquor stores here and in St. Paul.
I'd sure like to see them caught.
I don't think you'll have long to wait.
Who's this guy? I'd like to get him in a ring or something.
Well, I'll be satisfied when we get him in our ring. Olson, show him that picture.
Sure. Take a good look at this picture, Nichols.
Yes.
Tell us whether that's the man.
Well, before the guy had his face covered.
You said that.
Yeah, but the eyes look the same. I'll never forget those eyes.
Thanks.
Come on, Olson, let's go.
Yeah. We'll be in touch with you, Nichols. We can reach you here, huh?
Yeah, yes, sir, here. Or at the place, sir.
Well, just so we can reach you. Good night.
Good morning.
We'll be seeing you, Nichols.
Let's go out and run around the block. That wasn't Sino's picture.
Nah. Some guy I never seen before.
Congratulations.
Yeah, Sino's right, baby. That was too close. Getting out of here. Let's start packing.
Good. I love to travel.
Vicky.
Yeah, what do you want?
Look around back there and give me the Nebraska roadmap.
Oh.
I think we stay on 77, Nick. That takes us right into Omaha.
I can't find no Nebraska map. Here, take them all.
Hey.
Now let me try to catch a little sleep. I've been up since Tuesday.
Take a look on the map, Cena.
Yeah. You know anything good in Omaha?
Well, there ought to be one or two easy touches there. Dock them off fast, keep on going.
That's the new policy?
Yeah. That's the no policy.
Then where?
Who knows? East, maybe south, maybe Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma.
Maybe we better stay away from Kansas and Oklahoma. Why? Vicky won't be very happy in either one of them states. They're both bone dry.
Detective Olson talking.
This is Wetherill. I got news for you.
Yeah? What is it?
I went around to the tavern to give Nichols a look at some more pictures.
And?
And he didn't show up for work tonight.
Would you try his rooms?
I certainly did. He moved out this morning and the janitor said he was in an awful hurry.
Well.
Looks to me like we couldn't see the forest for the trees, Olson.
Yeah.
The janitor said the girl went with him and another guy. And from the description, the other guy looks like the one that did the shooting.
Did you get into the place?
Yeah, it was in pretty much of a mess, but... I found one little item to write home about. Come on over and we'll figure out what to do about it. Hello, Pop.
Eh?
Any luck?
No. But I don't fish to catch nothing particular. Oh. It's just relaxing.
I see. Well, you mind if I relax a while?
No, help yourself. Hey, would you like to fish some? Got an extra line.
No, thanks.
You ain't from around here, huh?
Minneapolis, that's not so far.
Oh, Minneapolis, eh?
Yeah.
Well, you ain't been into the city in years. Hey, you've grown some.
Oh, some. I'm looking for a girl named Vicki Newton.
You ain't looking in the right place, son.
How long ago was it you lived with you and your wife?
Oh, 2 years, I'd say.
You ever hear from her?
Now and then. When she left, left something with us.
Oh, yeah? What?
A baby. Yeah, little girl. Hey, sweetest little girl you ever saw.
Well, did she ever come to see the kid?
Since she's been drinking so much and running around with that fella.
What fellow?
Oh, some jailbird from Indiana.
Indiana, huh? His name isn't Nichols.
Something like that, I think. Oh, excuse me, got a bite.
Hey, Nick.
What?
Sino just told me.
So he told you.
What have you been doing, stealing my act and hitting the bottle?
Well, look it.
Why go back to Minneapolis?
Minneapolis owes me something.
Owes you something what, for crying out loud?
I wait months to knock over that tavern when the safe was loaded. Then I draw a blank.
You're not going back for that.
We're driving tonight.
You're crazy.
Wouldn't you like to see your kid?
No.
Not much you wouldn't. But suit yourself.
I'll be packed. What time do we leave?
As soon as I get the car gassed up.
Is that the call?
I said Wetherill.
Okay, I'll take it here. Detective Wetherill talking. How are you, Pop?
We got a letter from her. Special delivery.
Yeah? What'd you have to say?
Well, she'll be here. Next week, she says. She wants to see a little girl.
Good. Pop.
Yeah?
Have you got room to board a couple of detectives for a few days?
Well, we'll make room.
Okay. They'll be up there this afternoon. Olson.
Yeah?
Nichols is back in town. He and Sino just struck up the tavern where he used to work.
What?
Yeah, they were recognized by the manager and by both bartenders. And there was a car waiting. It must have been the girl.
You'd better get in touch with the men we've got up in the country. They might be heading that way to see the kid.
I think I'll drive up there myself. How about you, Olson?
Okay, count me in.
Have you got a car, Sina?
Oh, boss, give me a chance to get through the silver, will you?
You know how to get there, huh, Nick?
Get where?
Where do you think? To see my baby.
I wanted to talk to you about that, Biggie.
Talk? Well, what's there to talk about?
We're not going up there.
What do you think I came all the way back for?
We're not going.
There's nearly 300 in silver alone.
Who cares? Nick, you promised.
That's too bad. I can't take the chance.
You should have thought of that before.
I could think of it before. We're not going.
Maybe you're not, but I am. Let me out of here.
I'm going to Louisville. You're coming with me.
I am not.
Sit still or I'll send you someplace you're not looking to go.
Hey, watch where you're driving.
Okay. Don't give me no trouble, Vicki.
Trouble? I couldn't give more trouble than you already got. Louisville, huh? Okay. We'll see how we like Louisville.
Ah, hello, Cena. When'd you come in?
I've been sitting here a while. How is she?
How do you think?
Honest, Nick, it beats me. If you need a dame around, so dump Vicki and get one that ain't a bottle jockey. There's plenty, you know.
She was getting okay. She was laying off the stuff, and when we got back to Minneapolis, she was fine. Fine.
She ain't been fine here in Louisville. Oh, I don't mind somebody taking a drink, but if there's something I can't stand, it's a boozer. Especially a female boozer.
Okay.
Hey, you don't think it has something to do with her not seeing her kid, do you?
How do I know? You ever talked about the kid?
Should have let her see the kid you promised.
Oh, don't you start.
Nick.
Yeah?
Look, how about giving Vicky the pitch? Let's leave her and blow.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but that ain't right exactly.
Eh, look who's getting a conscience.
Ought to be coming around soon. Run down to the drugstore. Get a couple of containers of black coffee, will you?
Bring your bromo with us.
Okay. Make it snappy.
Good deal. Yeah. Gotta take the bad with the good.
Hello, Sino.
Hey.
Take it easy. You couldn't get away if you tried.
Okay, okay, Copper. I ain't trying nothing.
Lean up against that wall.
Yeah, sure.
Hold still.
I ain't carrying nothing.
Nothing on him. All right, Sino. Walk back to Nichols' store.
Oh, now, look.
He said walk. You'll knock, but when Nichols answers, tell him you forgot something.
Yeah, if you say so.
Anybody with him?
Just a dame, but she passed out cold.
Okay, knock.
Oh, I listen.
Go on, knock.
Keep out of sight, Olson.
Yeah.
I thought I sent you for cotton.
I forgot something, Nick.
Crying out loud. Can't you get it through your...
Up.
Okay, I'm through.
Now. Both of you back up in there. Where's the girl?
In there. She's out.
That's too bad. We just wanted to thank her for the letter to a little girl and for mailing it from Louisville.
Well, how do you like that?
You want to know, Sino? We like it fine. Okay, Sergeant. Let's get him going.
That, Don, was how the criminal activities of Frank Nichols came to an end. He and his confederates were returned to Minneapolis and stood trial for robbery. Nichols is now serving 30 years in the Minnesota State Prison, and the others equally appropriate terms.
Well, thank you, Inspector Bernath, for narrating this pointed case history. And gangbusters, congratulations to Minneapolis detectives Arthur J. Olson and Charles Wetherill, and to all the other law enforcement officers who worked so hard in bringing these criminals to justice. Leading roles were played by Frank Reddick, Mercedes McCambridge, and Ken Lynch. Don Gardner speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.
That's Gangbusters, December 27, 1947, with a triple threat bandit starring Frank Reddick and Mercedes McCambridge. Good show. Hope you enjoyed that.